Hi there, my name is Dr. Shivana Naidu. I am a board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. Over the course of my career, seeing and treating thousands of young patients and their families, time and time again, I am reminded of how confusing it is to navigate the system of mental health care. Who are mental health care providers? How is therapy going to help my child? Should I tell the school about my child's mental health issues? What is the real diagnosis? Is medication going to change my child's personality? These are all really important questions. When parents and patients ask me these questions, there are a million thoughts I want to share, but usually I only have 2 minutes left in the visit. Since I am back to back with patients, I don't always have the time to answer them the way that they deserve and the way that I really want to. So, this is why I started this podcast, to give you the information you need to help you think through the tough questions you are already asking, so that you can help your child in the best way possible. So join me, let's think it through with Dr. Naidu, child psychiatrist. Hi there, welcome to Thinking It Through with Dr. Naidu, child psychiatrist, episode 6, therapy, part 1, think different. So my second podcast episode, I walked you through some potential first steps to try to get help for yourself and your child. And just to recap, in most cases, outside of starting with your pediatrician, I would advise to seek an assessment with a therapist as a first step. Now, who is a therapist? What do they really do? What are their qualifications? And how can they help my child? So these are all very good questions and very loaded, so I kind of want to get started because there's so much fog here. And sometimes when it comes to finding a therapist, it may feel like smoke and mirrors because oftentimes parents and patients are not really convinced that therapy can help them. So for this podcast, I broke it down into two parts. Part one is Think Different, where I'm going to talk through what the overarching goal of is for seeing someone for talk therapy, and also to talk through the differences between therapy, counseling, coaching, and their other loose definitions. So I'm also going to bring up very briefly different types of therapy that are user-friendly for kids in particular. In part two, Think It Through With Me, I will talk about who are the different types of people that you can turn to help provide therapy or counseling for your kid. In the near future, I will do more episodes on different modalities or types of therapy that can potentially help your child as well. But for now, let's get started with that foundation of what therapy actually is. Okay? Now, therapy. What does that even mean? What do they even do? Some parents have told me they don't think their child needs a therapist, but would like their child to be in counseling. Oftentimes, however, these words, therapy and counseling, are used interchangeably, but they are a little different. Now, no matter what type of therapist is seeing your child, whether it's a therapist or a counselor or a coach, whatever they say they are, no matter what modality they are using, the ultimate goal of therapy is to help you or your child to think different. Yes, I know it sounds like an old Apple ad, but I really think that's the overarching goal of any therapy. It is to help you or your child to think differently, and as a result, to choose differently and then behave differently. Why? Why would that be a goal? It's a goal because whatever is happening to cause you and your child to try therapy is happening because the way you are thinking and choosing and behaving is not working for you. Because even children have or have developed thought habits. And those thought habits may be bad thought habits, or words that we use sometimes for these bad thought habits are called cognitive distortions or limiting beliefs. These are thoughts that are not very helpful and at times even hurtful. Now, I'm using the term bad thought habit for a reason, though typically we try to use a neutral term, like the cognitive distortion or limiting belief. Bad is a word I rarely use in my house, as I have two little boys, and I really don't say my boys are bad. But I do say, when they misbehave, that they may make bad choices or poor choices. Now, I'm currently using the term bad thought habit because it's important that as a parent, we know that the way that kids can be thinking may not serve them well. The way that we think sometimes can be bad for us, can be harmful for us. And oftentimes, if we keep thinking the same way over and over and over again, that hurt becomes a habit that we believe. So that's why I'm calling these cognitive distortions a bad thought habit. For now, to help you understand how these thoughts can really impact who we are and how we feel. And they really cause our kids and ourselves so much pain. So let's stop that hurt. That's kind of the goal of therapy too, to stop that hurt from these ways of thinking. What is the definition of insanity again? It's doing the same thing over and over and over, hoping for a different result. It's something like that. You know, so the ultimate goal of therapy is to try to think and then do things differently to serve your life better. Now, yes, starting to think differently can be achieved in many different ways, right? Prayer, meditation, reading, listening to podcasts like mine, having a variety of life experiences. Starting is one thing, but maintaining is a whole different ballgame. So therapy helps us connect to someone who can help us think differently, start the ball rolling, and then establish the tools and strategies to maintain that thinking differently. So working with a professional can help you not only jumpstart thinking differently, but to maintain choosing and behaving differently. Make sense? So that's really the goal of working with a professional, in my opinion. Now, there are several other goals to therapy as well, but in my humble opinion, the main goal, as I said before, is to start to think differently. Another main goal when it comes to kids and teens in therapy is to develop a positive relationship with a sensible adult. Yes, sensible. Someone who you trust, someone who you think will make sense, someone who you think can guide your child in a positive way. Oftentimes, when children come to therapy, some aspect of their relationship with their parental figure is strained, either because of their own behavior or because of a dynamic that is developed between the child and their family. And as we mentioned before, we can all fall into these bad habits of thinking. You are human. One of those thought patterns that kids can develop is, quote, "My parents don't get me. My parents are adults. Adults don't get me. All adults don't understand me, so I can't trust adults." This is kind of a typical thought pattern that some kids can have when they have a negative experience a couple of times over and over again with their parental figure. So it's very typical of kids who have a strained relationship with their parents or a history of trauma or abuse from adults. So having a child meet with another adult, with a mental health professional who can help provide guidance, insight, and eventually trust can really help shift this thought pattern to, quote, "Some adults understand me. I can trust some adults." And this is a really important shift because if kids are not talking to their parents and only feel they can turn to their friends, they can get into trouble. Now, an astute parent like you may be thinking, why do we need to see a therapist to help my child think differently and trust adults? Because that kind of is my job. Well, as a parent, you know, you have 1,000 jobs, and it's so tough to be a parent and to do all of those jobs well. There is so much physical and mental juggling we have to do between our responsibilities to ourselves, to our children, our jobs, our partners, our own parents, and our families. To say it's challenging is just an understatement. And when your child has symptoms of anxiety, depression, ADHD, etc., it adds a whole other layer of complexity into parenting your child and understanding your child. And that can really wear on you. So it can help to have a third-party, non-biased, professionally trained person take a look and help guide your child and yourself. It may help you get closer to being the best parent you can be for your child. Now, counseling. There are several types of people who provide counseling, and some counselors are actually performing therapy. But counseling in general is more advice-giving, more hand-holding, more education-providing. Counselors in general tend to be very warm, flexible, inviting, and are a really good start to building therapeutic relationships. All doctors, in fact, provide counseling when they speak to you about treatment options, side effects, or guide you with some advice about taking a medication or trying a certain treatment. We even have to write it down in our notes that we provide counseling. I write this down every time I see a patient because I'm always providing some kind of counsel to my parents and kids. So this, in essence, is what I'm doing here in this podcast, providing some kind of counseling. But counseling, theoretically, is shorter term than the long term of therapy. It tends to be more focused, but honestly, most counselors are also providing their fair share of therapy. Both therapy and counseling have many different modalities, many different types of treatment lines or strategies. But in general, therapy is driven more by the patient or the child, and you take your lead from that child or patient and where they want to go. With counseling, it is a little more driven by the counselor. There's a little bit more, as I said, hand-holding and direction that's provided on the part of the counselor. Now, on to coaching. Coaching is even more directed by that professional. Coaching is the briefest of the interventions, and some therapists and doctors do not recognize coaching as a treatment modality. But I think that some coaches can be really immensely helpful, such as behavioral coaches for patients that have ADHD and need strategies for school, or behavioral coaching for kids who have massive meltdowns that disrupt the entire family. In this case, a coach can help the child and the family really learn active strategies and tools to rework how the family responds to those meltdowns. Because the parent needs to learn those skills to teach that child how to better manage their emotions. Now, a behavioral coach is different than a life coach. Nowadays, you can find a coach for anything and everything. And honestly, I think the reason why is because it's time limited. And it's goal-oriented, and it markets itself as not being therapy. Because we know there's still a stigma, right, about going to see a therapist or a psychiatrist. But coaching is still 100% therapeutic, meaning whatever the coach is trying to do is trying to be helpful. They're still ultimately trying to help you think and therefore behave differently. Coaching typically is future-oriented, goal-oriented, specific, and time-limited. In general, it's more helpful for insightful, mature, and less sick patients who are self-motivated to make a change. And this is why coaching can be helpful for that parent-child dyad, because sometimes the parent is way more motivated than the child to make those changes. In general, when it is a child who has a really serious concern, something like suicidal thinking or self-harm, coaches are really not appropriate. This just is not their field of expertise. So if your child has this as a main concern, suicidal thinking, self-harm, cutting, please do not take her to see a coach. Also, in general, coaching is not recognized by insurance companies as a reimbursable form of mental health service. So if you are looking at a coach for you and your child, you likely will have to pay out of pocket. Now, therapy can be also very specific, like CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy. But the treatment goals are understood in the context of a diagnosis or a cluster of symptoms that are affecting the concerning behavior. Therapy tries to address a targeted behavior as well as the cluster of symptoms that surround it. Coaching often just focuses on the specific target without addressing the overarching symptoms that affect the behavior. So, in general, we covered the goals and differences between therapy, counseling, and coaching. So if I have to sum it up in brief, therapy is more, I think, therefore I am. Counseling is more, I think I can, I think I can. And coaching is more, just do it. So in other words, therapy is mainly a means to retrain the thought process. Counseling is mainly guided decision-making, and coaching is more action-oriented. But being a psychiatrist and trained in different modalities of treatment, including different forms of therapy, and appreciating each of these, I want to just underscore that I think all of them, coaching, counseling, therapy, really try to achieve the same basic goal. A good quotation to summarize the collective goal of all good mental health care actually is captured in this quotation by Mahatma Gandhi. He says, and I quote, "Carefully watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Manage and watch your words, for they will become your actions. Consider and judge your actions, for they will become your habits. Acknowledge and watch your habits, for they shall become your values. Understand and embrace your values, for they will become your destiny." This is a quotation by Mahatma Gandhi. And I share this with you because any of the above three categories we discussed tell you to do exactly what Gandhi just said. Watch your thoughts, watch your actions, watch your reactions, and essentially try to build your self-awareness about the patterns of thoughts you have that will ultimately affect your life. Now, watching your thoughts and habits are incumbent upon your own motivation to change and your own motivation to be mindful in that way until it becomes a habit pattern. Now, everyone's motivation is a moving target. But in kids, motivation is more rapidly changing. And that can really affect whether therapy or counseling or coaching sticks. And this is how come so many parents will say they tried therapy, but it didn't work. And now they're open to trying medications because they tried the therapy route and it wasn't effective. But I have to say, to try therapy, to really try therapy, you need frequency, consistency, and commitment over time. Not over 3 months, oftentimes over something like 3 years. Honestly, for any change to stick, it has to be frequent, consistent, and you have to be committed. It's really hard work to change our thoughts. It's hard to change anything. You can't expect to be fit and toned if you go to the gym once a month. It's not happening. You can't expect to be fit and toned if you go to the gym twice a month. Probably not happening. You may have to go to the gym at least once a week, if not several times a week, plus make some major changes to your diet, ideally to see any results. You may even need to get a personal trainer to see you once a week, do the exercises with you, help you practice, so then over several months, maybe even a year, finally you will start to see those results. And this is kind of like therapy. Your therapist is like your personal trainer for your mind. And the work you do in the session or in the visit, you need to carry that work through with you to practice over the weeks ahead. Otherwise, there will be little to no progress observed. But that doesn't mean that there is little or no progress made. Because before we see a change happen on the outside, there are these micro shifts that happen in our mind, body, and spirit that can bolster that motivation and start that change on the inside. So even if you went to therapy for a couple months, it's likely some change has occurred. For example, let's say you're planting tulips for the spring. You need to plant them before the winter, right? You need to plant them in the fall so that they can be established to weather the winter storm when the warm sun peeks through again in the spring. So therapy is like planting bulbs for tulips in the fall. It prepares you in ways that you may not see but are still happening because you need roots before shoots. The bulb, the seed, your child, the foundation of any relationship needs to establish roots before you see anything come above ground, Before you see the leaves and the bud and the flower and smell the fragrance, you need well-established roots. And to me, this is how therapy helps to grow and develop these roots within your mind. So even if you or your child went to therapy for a few months, the hope is that a few seeds have been sown and they're laying dormant, waiting to take root or even have started to sprout a bit. Remember, roots before shoots. Okay, so when a patient or parent comes to me and says they tried therapy and it didn't work, and then tell me they saw them for only 3 months, only three times in that 3 months, I ask them to try again. And I help them to find someone that they feel is a better fit for them, so that my therapeutic interventions and the therapist's therapeutic interventions can really help to take root, because it takes time. Okay? Now, just a couple other brief things for me to mention. For children in particular, you may often hear play therapy. Play therapy is a type of therapy where there are trained play therapists who are credentialed, who work with kids through the modality of play to help them better process trauma or life experiences. Oftentimes for these types of kids who see a play therapist, parents will say, "I don't know what they're doing. They're just playing Scrabble. They're just playing checkers. They're just painting." But every kid learns through play, particularly under the age of 6. So if you have your child enrolled in play therapy and all it seems that they are doing is playing, just be mindful that play is a modality to understand the world of that child. And you might have seen this too with your own kids. If you're doing something with them, let's say you're eating dinner or you're doing an activity, sometimes kids just start talking. And that's also an aspect of play therapy, that kids being engaged in an enjoyable activity can really open their mind and their world to talking about some really difficult stuff. The same thing happens with things like music therapy or art therapy, where they use that modality of creative expression and processing to help them understand their world and make sense of it. You also could find things like equine therapy or therapy with other animals. Oftentimes, kids who have a really hard time verbalizing things can really connect with the animal that they're working with, and that helps to open up an avenue or channel to further process their world. So I just want to briefly touch upon these other modalities that are oftentimes used for kids. Now, are they as effective as cognitive behavioral therapy or dialectical behavioral therapy or psychodynamic psychotherapy? It's not really clear. But as I mentioned before, I think that with kids, we want to start to plant those seeds, establish those foundational roots to help them to sprout and to grow. So whatever modality that is, we got to get those seeds in there, okay? So remember, no matter how frustrated, confused, or overwhelmed you feel, I know that you are smart enough, brave enough, resourceful enough, good enough to do something about it. That's why you're here, right? So in this episode, we talked a bit about the differences between therapy, counseling, and coaching, the similarities between them all, and consideration when choosing a particular type of therapy for yourself or your child. In the next episode, part 2, we'll talk more about the different types of people who can provide therapy to your child. Okay? So thanks for joining me in this episode of Thinking It Through with Dr. Naidu, Child Psychiatrist. I will think with you soon. Hi again, this is Dr. Naidu. Thank you for joining me in this episode of Thinking It Through with Dr. Naidu. Please remember that the opinions expressed in this podcast are my own and not representative of my job or any organization that I belong to. Please remember that the info provided in this podcast is not medical treatment or a substitute for medical treatment. Please always bring up these points with your own doctor and think it through with them too. If you or your family member are struggling with suicidal thoughts, please don't wait. Please don't hesitate. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or text the Crisis Text Line at 741-741 or call 911 and bring yourself or your child to the nearest emergency room. If there's a topic that you'd like me to address or discuss in this podcast, or if you have any feedback for me to make it better, please do email me at drshivananaidu@gmail.com. That is dr.shivanisananca.com. and as in Nancy, AI, D as in dog, OO, @gmail.com. I will think with you soon.